Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. This podcast series offers a fun and serious look at hypnosis and offers various ideas, discuss case studies, along with NGH educational opportunities.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Debbie Livingston, and I'll be your host for the NGH Hypnosis Podcast. And we're recording this session at the annual NGH Educational Conference, and I have the pleasure of having three hypnotists with me today. So I'm just going to start with a lady on my right, and if you could just go around introducing yourselves, please.
Well, thank you, Debbie. What a pleasure to be here. I'm Kimberly Ann O'Connor. I'm a certified professional hypnotist and trainer from Toronto, Ontario. My website's consultinghypnosis.ca. So thrilled to get to talk to you all.
There you go.
My name is Sean Michael Andrews, and I've been a hypnotist for 20 years and got my board certification last year. And thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here.
Good. I'm Don Martin, vice president.
No introduction.
None. Well, then I'm going to stop talking. You know, this is getting easier for me by the minute.
Introduction.
Yes. Oh, now I don't know what to say. I'm the vice president. NGH went into full-time practice in August of 1980, hypnotized somewhere around 50,000 people. And this is the high point of the year for me. Oh, I can't wait. I'll leave here on Monday and I'm already excited. And especially with next year being 75th anniversary. Yes, can't wait.
I'm going to start with a question. You're all presenting at the annual NGH convention. What makes you keep coming back?
Initially, it was I'm going to learn something new, which I do every single time. I think it's an impossibility. I don't care if you've done hypnosis forever and ever and ever, to go to this and not leave with new knowledge. It may be something, oh, I never thought of that spin. I never thought of this, that, and the other. I took somebody's class a number of years ago for passing exams, and I was so excited and went back and started doing those. And it turned out I could make my entire living just helping people pass exams. But I probably wouldn't have thought about it if I wasn't at the convention.
So let's talk about how you feel about hypnosis and the new weight loss medications that are out there. Do you think that they can work together, hypnosis and the medications?
Well, I feel that the training of the NGH is so focused on empowering our clients, really giving tools that continue to serve them when we're working with them one-on-one and then ongoingly. So I really believe that there's nothing that isn't benefited from learning progressive relaxation for self, a countdown, a simple, powerful mantra to regulate the nervous system. With a regulated nervous system, I feel the endocrine system is impacted, your experience of living in your body is impacted positively. I really don't think there's a downside to consistent self-hypnosis, whether you're taking adjacent medications or using it as a tool ongoingly and solely. Is there a downside? I don't think so.
Excellent. What about you, Sean?
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, self-hypnosis. Now, I'm not one of the lucky ones. I'm not a somnambulist. Okay, so when I use self-hypnosis, So I don't feel the magic that a somnambulist feels when I do self-hypnosis. However, I do get the benefit of it. For instance, I use self-hypnosis for coming up with ideas, business ideas, you know, how can I improve my office? And I do come up with some ideas. Some of them are really wacky, but that's what it's all about. But some of them are quite good. And we know that depth of trance, there is no correlation between depth of trance and the ability to make a change. So from that standpoint, even if it's not a magical experience for you when you do self-hypnosis, it doesn't mean you can't get the benefit of it. But you mentioned the weight loss drugs, and I have some strong opinions about that. Okay. The one thing that will always show up in an article about the weight loss drugs, and it just to be fair, they always put it in, and they say that many of the people who do this, after they've lost the weight and stopped taking the drugs, the weight comes back. The reason why is because they haven't dealt with why they have these unhealthy eating habits. So that's where the hypnosis comes in. And that's probably where we should go after them, because there are people who are taking the weight loss drugs and they're being very successful with them, but they know they've got to stop. And what happens then? We should be going after them.
That's a real passion for me. So if I can add in that years ago, when they started doing the stomach surgery, I had a client who needed to get her stomach stapled. And I said, okay, but you still need to work on the pictures or the issues that are creating that weight to be there. After her surgery, she came back and she was miserable. And then I saw her again and she had started to gain the weight back and even told me, I haven't worked on any of the issues. I wasted my money. So thank you for addressing that. How about you, Don?
Self-hypnosis, I do at least twice a day. Every time as I'm going to sleep, first thing in the morning, so I get to end the day up, start it that way. Most people I had a major stroke. They said, you'll never walk again. You're not going to breathe correctly. Forget talking. It's never going to happen. It's a good thing on that that I don't follow instructions
right.
Well. But the positive got me excited, so I started teaching other people rewiring the brain for stroke survivors. And the only part on the negative, I'd have a client, what did your physician say? He said, I'd never walk again. Well, don't do that. And I thought, I can't fight the medical community. So my canned answer is, I'll never walk again. When he told you that, he didn't know we'd be using hypnosis, did he? And it was kind of that catch-all. And as far as weight, pardon the pun, is a really big program. There's millions of people want to lose weight. And as we start talking, we can ask, have you ever eaten because of boredom, depression, anxiety, stress, reward, companionship, time of day, or other people? If you haven't, you've been dead for 2 weeks. You don't need out of hunger anymore. We usually find another stimulant. So if we can get our client self-hypnosis to start pulling one or two of those, it makes a big difference in my opinion.
So a question for you, if I can ask. Actually, I've always wanted to ask you this because you're very open about how much work you did when you had your own physical issues, how much work you had to do with your own personal belief system.
The whole lot because, I was bombarded again. You're not going to do this, that, and the other. And I think without hypnosis, I'd still be in the wheelchair that I was in for over a year. Mm-hmm. It took forever. And people said, well, if it worked, you'd jump out of the thing. I said, no, it got to the point where I can lift this arm. And then it got to the point I can do this, that, and the other. And the challenges. Dr. Damon, president of the Guild, super neat person, solid gold. He said, oh, we want you to come out there. And I said, Doc, I'm in a wheelchair. Well, we don't think you're going to teach dancing. And it was so funny because I was there and he said, okay, let's tie him into the wheelchair. Because I had a thing where I'd lose where my body's at. And he said, you know, if I don't do that and you fall out and we're moved down the stage, people are going to be mad at me. Look what you did to Martin. So probably 2 to 3 years, and they're still carryover. If I have to have a blood test, I always want on the left hand. Because this is good, but I can't unbutton a cuff with this hand still. And sure enough, nobody would care but me. So we tend to have these, okay, I'm going to do this. And my last one, I don't know how to write anymore. I can print, but I don't know how to write. And a carryover. A person was buying my book, Raising Children with Hypnosis, is a paid commercial. And they and so I always have the book signed ahead of time. And, well, can you personalize it? And this was a hypnotist. I said, they can't. Well, you shouldn't sell the damn book if they can't sign it. And as hypnotists, we know we go through emotions. The first one, I was sad. The second one, I want to hurt you. And the third one, just go away. So yeah, I've learned so much from the stroke. And I think talking to hypnotists all over the world, say, ooh, here's something other people would view as negative, but I picked this up.
Yeah, I just want to honor and validate you because I'm thinking, I've been a hypnotist for a long time, but I'm not sure how I'd handle something like that if I had the confidence within myself. So I just always wanted to say thank you. Again, this is the Hypnosis NGH podcast. How did you all get started? How long have you been a hypnotist and what was your interest? Did you try it first and then become a hypnotist, or how did that all work out for you?
I have been with the Guild since 2013, and I just finished studying at University of British Columbia, psychology, and the prognosis for transformation was so long, and I was really uninspired by the idea that we would work for 3 years to have a breakthrough around parental strife. And I had a sense within myself that there must be a way to couple honor, hope, resilience, and ease. I just thought there must be. I was in a bookstore killing time, and it really changed my life. I found a book called Mind Magic. I still own it. And it was written by someone who's not a hypnotist, but they loved hypnosis. They went through all case studies, allergy cessation, retaining or remembering languages, as well as anxiety, smoking, weight release. And I flipped through it in the aisle and thought, this is what I'm looking for. I looked up a program. I found it in Toronto at the time, the Ontario Hypnosis Center. And I called my mom and said, do you know anything about hypnosis? She said, no. Then she called me back right away and said, you're Gammy Bird. My grandma had smoked for 45 years, had a single session, stopped smoking. And then it turned out that many of my family members, unbeknownst to most of us, had had hypnosis positively serve them. And I was convinced the first time I was ever hypnotized was my first day of class. And my life has been so gifted by hypnosis. I just love it.
Do you have a specialty in that under the umbrella of hypnosis?
I am an addictions counselor as well as in recovery myself for 6 years.
Thank you for sharing that.
And my pleasure. And so I work with a lot of people who are looking for supportive measures around addictive or compulsive behaviors, substances, relationships with the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I work with the treatment center doing exactly that.
Very good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
How about you, Sean?
Well, let's see.
You known as the fastest hypnotist?
Well, because I own the website, World's Fastest Hypnotist. One of my students said, you were the fastest at getting the website, World's Fastest Hypnotist. Anyway. I am fast, but every one of my students is as fast as me, mm-hmm. if they're operating safely. If you go faster, you're going to hurt somebody, and I've never hurt anybody. Anyway, I was in 11th grade, 16 years old, in Mrs. Curry's psychology class, and she had this surprise for us. Well, no, it wasn't a surprise. It was because we had to get our parents' permission, and she invited a hypnotist, and he came in, Dr. Smith. And he said, who wants to be hypnotized? And I was up there. I was the first one in the chair, and three other guys got in the chairs. And he did his induction. It was an arm levitation induction. And I got my hand almost up to touching my cheek, and then I got scared.
Mm-hmm.
And so I popped out. Actually, nobody got hypnotized there. Nobody. And I later thought, now I know. Gosh, she didn't hypnotize four teenage boys. He must not have been a very good hypnotist. Anyway,
right?
But he was smart in that he invited one of the girls from a previous class to come up, and he'd already conditioned her, brought her in, put her in immediately with a reinduction. And he told her this really, I can still remember this. He sent her back to the classroom. He said, when I do this, pull on my ear, you will be compelled to run up and slap me on the back and say, great job, Dr. Smith, and you won't know why you did it. And she was also the prettiest girl in school. And he did that, and she came up and she did it. And I thought, I've got to learn how to do this. I've got to learn how to do this.
Smack my teacher.
Yeah, that was it, Debbie. Yeah. So anyway. But anyway, that was my first taste of hypnosis. But I joined a class because one of my friends called me. We'd taken NLP courses together, and she said, I'm a hypnotist. And I said, I know, we both are. And she said, no, you're not. And she said, I took Terry Kine's class, and I'm a hypnotist, and you are not. And so she convinced me. I went to Terry's class, and she was right. I wasn't a hypnotist.
Yeah. Until then.
So that was 2005.
So asking all of you, what do you think is more powerful, having somebody facilitate with hypnosis or using self-hypnosis within yourself, and why?
Well, I would think that having someone hypnotize me is probably slightly better. It's so easy during self-hypnosis for the mind to wander off. I got to have the oil change in the car and this, that, and the other. Where if someone else is delivering suggestions in a positive way, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going along for this. So, as I said, I do self-hypnosis twice a day. But I'd have one of these three beautiful people. I'm sitting at the table. It's too bad this isn't video. You would agree with me. And have any one of them induce hypnosis because the person knows what they're doing, and rapid changes.
Anybody else want to chime in?
I'd have to agree with Dawn. And I do feel that there's an element there that's still that question mark of hypnosis around authoritative, permissive. But there seems to be a je ne sais quoi, I'm Canadian, so I have to throw a little French in, around being guided, using a full induction, deepener, suggestions that have been curated for you. The whole experience is important. And I feel repetition, as you mentioned, Sean, about conditioning in the class. Yeah. Conditioning is also important. So repetition, I really like. I also hypnotize in the morning. I record instead of guiding myself through self-hypnosis. I record my sessions, brief but induction, deepen or suggestion emerge. And that compounding really serves me. So I like both. I want to see a hypnotist and then I want to be hypnotized all the time. That's my idea.
That's called trans fever.
That's right. Yeah, I can't get enough.
I love that.
I have trans envy. But I think heterohypnosis, you know, is much better than self-hypnosis. Yeah. And I think that, and now I don't have proof of this, but I believe that opposite sex hypnosis is more effective at achieving trance than same-sex hypnosis. I think that women tend to go into hypnosis better with a male hypnotist, and men go into hypnosis easier and better and deeper with a female hypnotist.
This is the very first time. Really? I've never heard this before.
And the theory, whether right or wrong, I could have a male hypnotist and I'm not letting him take control over me, where the female, I'm not, the female to female. Yeah, but she weighs 105 pounds and she can have a little sniff. Not that he couldn't hypnotize a guy or that. But right. Yeah, I agree with that.
That's an urgent point. Yeah. And I just appreciate a woman's voice more than a man. And I trust women more than I trust men. Because in school, you only do the thing about you go for a handshake and then you go, nah. That didn't come across in the podcast, but imagine just me being stupid. But anyway.
Yeah.
So we trust men. We trust women more than we trust men. I don't know why the other one works, but seems to.
An element of wanting to meet the expectations, too, that we're more cultured to naturally, unconsciously, subconsciously, and consciously please the opposite sex. Like a man's taught to respond positively. A woman's typically in culture to respond positively.
Now we're going to cultural beliefs.
Well, right.
Here we go.
And I wonder if that's an element, because wanting to do it right is sometimes an important part of hypnosis. Yeah. Wanting to please and move forward in the right way, and I'm using little air quotes because there is no right way.
And I agree. The thing I'm seeing, though, in today's time, there's a lot of guys who are hesitant to come and help you. I was at a little gas station, my wife's in, and a gal came out, big old bag, and she's doing the shuffle. And I'm saying, okay, should I help her or not? She may yell at me. And I thought, what the heck? And I came, oh, yeah. And then she's, the ice. And I'm thinking, I don't see it. Oh, it's in the bag. Could you drop it and crash it up for me? And then during a class in New York, we took a little break. We're headed back in. I opened the door. Yeah, so I don't know how it is in Missouri. In New York, a woman can open the door for herself. And I'm thinking, you have so much of that now.
Yeah.
That buddy of mine said he was watching two teenage girls. They were going to put oil in their car. They had cooking oil. Oh, and he's sitting there doing the same thing I did. He said, but the engine blows up, then I'm going to feel bad. So if it goes up, you know, don't hit on me or whatever. And it worked out. We don't use this oil. No, you don't want to put that in. He said, wait a minute. He got the thing, W30. And he sees that place says AutoZone. Take this in and tell him you need oil. Oh, okay. But again, he was going to be hesitant because of, you know.
It's not an easy time.
Yeah, it really isn't. I'm glad I'm married. It's easier.
It's tough to be a guy right now. So that's a whole different topic, but that's a good one. But I want to find out, what do you think about? We know hypnosis is a faster process than the other types of modalities. So where do you stand with that one? Guaranteed 100% sex rate or not?
The guarantee, I'm leery about. I do a lot of sessions, smoking one session. If I could do weight loss in one, I'd be a multi-trillionaire. But the guarantees I'm against. I mean, I went through that thinking, I'm really good at this. And so I did the guarantee. And my success went from 90 down to about 50 overnight. And I thought, how could that be? And then it dawned on me, we buy a new car, it comes with a guarantee. And you're driving and you hear this. I'm taking it in. I don't care if that to rip the whole window. Now the guaranteed expire. And you're driving around, you hear that. It's probably nothing major. It'll be okay. But I've seen the same thing with the smokers. Yep. If I can come back for free, I'm an urge for it. Maybe it's gas. I don't know. But if I have a cigarette, I get to go back for free. And so in my opinion, we lose some of the motivation.
Yeah.
I just think there's a level of integrity that if we want this to be a professional profession, as it is, and the goal works really hard to have that, and the guild works really hard to have that be a thing, to have it be a professional profession. There's integrity involved in that. My personal peeve with this integrity was my mom was a very, very successful lifelong career smoker. And I didn't work with her when I was living in California. So I sent her to another hypnotist in the state where she lived in Connecticut. And I said, go see this person. And then I talked to my mom afterwards, and she was miserable because she said she quit smoking for 3 weeks and then started again. So in her mind, she had failed because she was told one-time guarantee, 100% success rate. And I just think that's unethical.
But I agree with your mother. You have to have a time period. Yeah. We always said 90 days without a cigarette is what we were classifying.
Okay.
Because if you have it after that, it wasn't. So that was always our thing. Because you can't pull a person to the end of their life and say 4 years and 18 months. So ours, right around, we always just did 90 days but without a cigarette.
What upset me was that my mom could have really had the help because she ended up passing away from emphysema, but she thought she failed because she only went 3 weeks.
And I blame that on the hypnotist.
Well, I had some words
okay.
at a conference 1 year with them. Uh-huh. Integrity and the responsibility.
And that could have been excellent ammunition for the hypnotist. You quit for 3 weeks. Well, that means if we do another session.
Well, that's just it.
You've got it.
Any closing statements or words of encouragement or anything you guys would like to say before we wrap this one up?
Unless you want to keep talking forever.
There's just so many neat people here, and I can pick them out besides the three of you. But I really can't. I say, if you go and meet so-and-so and you don't like them, there's probably something wrong with you. Because there are people like Orman McGill and these people who, and they're willing to give. You know, it's not, well, you know, I know something you don't. There's no way I want you to find that out. Mm-hmm. So the Guild's convention is a giving sensation.
And I just want to say, you must be more of an Iron Man than you say, because there's so many of us that have been just standing on your shoulders, Dr. Damon's shoulders, and so many other people out there. So thank you for that.
But see, I found out I'm old. I used to say I have 44 years. I mean, you realize it's 4 decades? And I, oh my God, it really is. Just teasing.
It's something I want to say about the conventions. And, mm-hmm. and of course, you go to these great classes and you learn a lot. But the beauty in this for me is the networking. As a matter of fact, I picked up something this morning at breakfast. I was having breakfast with a hypnotist, and she just offhand said, you know, sometimes I have trouble because my people don't come back from their breaks or when I have them do an exercise. And I said, yeah, that bugs me too. I said, and I feel guilty or I feel rude when I say, okay, all right, everybody, let's go. Come on back. Take your seats. We got to go on. And she said, well, I just warn them ahead of time. And I thought, duh. You know, the light bulb went off. Warn them ahead of time. Hey, I may cut you off if we run out of time because I've got a lot of stuff to share and I may stop you. Understand that's going to happen. And I did that today in my class. And I thought, you know, thank you, Kate. That was great advice. But the networking between the classes and at night, that's where the real beauty of it is.
Yeah.
That's where you learn.
And is this your first year at the conference?
It is.
Oh, let's hear it from the newbie.
There we go.
Will not be my last. I am having such a tremendous time. I'm learning so much. The quality of the education, it makes me very proud to be a hypnotist with the NGH specifically. What wonderful people, fascinating, generous, really collaborative. And also we're so well taken care of. Great place, great food, so much fun. And Marlboro's lovely. I've never been to Massachusetts. Anyway, I won't go in here. So to all of our listeners, if you haven't been to the NGH previously and you're a hypnotist, don't make that mistake again. 2025, 75 year anniversary. And if you're considering hypnosis, let us tell you, it's beautiful. Don't wait any longer. Contact a hypnotist.
Good for
you. Best.
I can't end on a better note. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Sean. And thank you, Kimberly. And of course, thank you, listeners. And tune in again for a podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. You're welcome to share your ideas for future podcasts by emailing us, nghpodcast@ngh.net.